All right, folks, welcome back to Lace Mountain West Wire football podcast. Yeah, we're here. MWWire.com. We talk about football, you know, all the time, Matt. Is that correct? Because even though it's, what, within 200 days now, are we somewhere in that range just starting up for the week zero stuff?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you know, you might be tempted to say we're entering like the depths of the offseason. Super Bowl is behind us. But in some corners of the conference, yeah, XFL, USFL, but I think closer to home, spring practice is already underway for three teams in the conference. As we are recording this on February 15th, the NFL Combine is about a week and a half away. Mm-hmm. The NFL Draft isn't much farther after that, so it's still plenty going on.
Yeah, we got plenty. Also, March Exodus is not a football thing, but that's coming up soon in March.
That's right.
We'll get to that. So here's what the agenda today. SP Plus came out, which people will shake a fist at Bill Connolly and be like, why do you hate my team for every 130-something teams? Also, Matt, I was unaware. Were there new teams that have been added to FBS? Is Jacksonville
that
State
is correct.
And Sam Houston
Jacksonville
State, correct?
State and Sam Houston State. So there are now 133 FBS teams.
Okay, because I saw when the SP Plus rankings we'll get to was beyond 131. I'm like, wait a minute. Also,
yeah,
I don't know if you know this, but on Bill C and everything, it says Sam Houston. Is it not Sam Houston State, the Bearcats with a K?
I believe technically it is. I wonder if that's just like a quirk of ESPN tabling or something like that.
I am wondering, because I'm familiar with that university. It's kind of near where I grew up, and they have a giant, like, when I mean giant statue, this is for all the Bearcats fans, probably 0.1%. Are you familiar with at all?
Only a little bit.
That silence. But you've heard of the name, right? The person who was like the president
of
Texas.
Yeah, I've heard of Sam Houston.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. But when I mean they have a giant statue in front of their campus, it is literally a gigantic building size statue of Sam Houston. Huh. It like comes out of nowhere because it's in the small town of Huntsville. I believe you go there if you're going to Dallas, like going north from Houston where I'm from, and you pass that. I'm like, oh, that's like the hour 45 mark or hour and a half mark from over you're going from to south and north. But like literally it's gigantic. So you got two new teams, which they don't play Mountain West teams this year. It's fine. We get SP Plus, Craig Thompson. I think the reason we're getting Craig Thompson, obviously he's stepped down, he's retired in December 31st, and we kind of have to breathe a little bit. But also, it's an old article over at The Athletic, but also Robbie McCombs, who I know a bit from, worked with him, he does stuff for Vanquish of Foe, put like a little thing out there. Or no, maybe, mm-hmm. no, sorry, it's a different person. I apologize, not Robbie. He does a bunch for them. He put out something out there we can get into as well, kind of going back most of the expansion back in 2010 stuff we'll get to. Yeah, we got some spring updates, like you said. But SP Plus, you put it together. You've looked at it more closely than most people here. I've looked at it a bit here and there. But actually, I guess, first off, let's back up here, Matt. What is it, for people who don't know, and if you don't know, where have you been forever, for at least 5 plus 10 years almost?
It's been around for longer than that. I think it's
well,
close
I mean,
to
I'm
15
saying,
years at this point.
At least, yeah, it's like 5, 10. No, it's Mizzou. Was it Missouri website, football
That's
study
right.
hall,
That's
football
where Bill
outsiders.
Connolly got his start from Rock M, I believe.
Yeah, rockanimation.com. That's what it is. So what is SP Plus? Like for people like what it's like, I know it includes 5 factors, I believe, if that's still the case, right?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, but it does account for that in terms of like you know, how teams perform on the field. But you know, the phrase that he uses is efficiency. Mm-hmm. So you know, a lot of people, I think, have a tendency to think of it in terms of like, you know, this team is good or bad. And I think if you're going to shift your expectations a little bit, what you need to start thinking of is your team efficient or is it inefficient?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, if you're just looking for sort of a really simple litmus test, you know, consider that, you know, by a lot of the factors, which, you know, we talked about before, we'll talk about again over the summer during the team previews, but like New Mexico, for example, you know, last in the country in points per drive, last in the country in available yards percentage per drive, a lot of things along those lines.
Yeah.
Which is why it may not shock you to learn that they're next to last in overall SP Plus. They project as the second least efficient team in the country. So The five factors, like you mentioned, that, explosiveness, I think success rate and things along those lines, all that stuff matters. But in the broad strokes, what is SP Plus is based on is returning production, recruiting, and recent history.
Good to know. And we also can mention he put out his returning production numbers as well. We'll kind of intertwine.
Yes.
And also, it should be noted directly from his website. Oh, this will be me quoting Bill C. A reminder on SP Plus. It's a tempo and opponent-adjusted measure of college football efficiency, as you mentioned, Matt. It is a predictive measure of the most sustainable and predictable aspects of football. Not, I think you should bold this, Matt. It is not a resume ranking. And along those lines, these projections aren't intended to be a guess at top 25 at the end of the season. They're simply early offseason power rankings based on information we have gathered to date. And what will make these interesting, and that's what it is. So if you're like, why is my team good or not good? A couple of things we should note. Typically, the academies are underserved in this because the recruiting is always low, just because that's what they are. So we'll see Air Force, like currently at the moment, they are actually higher than, they're actually pretty higher than I thought because they're 77th overall, 118 offense, 31 defense. But typically, they're, it takes a while to catch up because it's a, how many years does he take with this? Is it 5 years, 4 years?
Something like that,
Like prior data. And so he'll reduce it, but he'll,
and if to clarify, because you mentioned the five factors a minute ago, I just want to lay it out there. So the five factors that you're referring to are efficiency. So just like, how often you're moving forward from down to down, explosiveness, field position, finishing drives. So, you may have
points.
heard the phrase, you may have heard the phrase more over the past couple of years that field goals are failures. That's because maybe as obvious as it is, getting 6 points out of a drive is better than settling for three. And the last one is turnovers.
One before, that's why Nick Sirianni is a hero of NFL coaching, going for a fourth down every chance you get for the Eagles. So
Yeah,
love to
and
see that all the time.
that's why Troy Calhoun will always have a place in my heart.
Heck yeah, like he they do it's. It's great what that we should be doing. Like punting, like teams are getting better at it, but like if you're on your, my opinion, if it's under, if it's 5 yards or less and you're beyond your own 35, why not go for it? I think that's
There you
reasonable.
go.
I don't think that's too outlandish. I could see circumstances like obviously score wise and weather wise, like maybe you want to get rid of it or something, but in part of the way, I'm like, I don't think that's too much of a risk. It's outside field goal range if you don't get it for the most part, but you also got to trust your defense a bit. So there's a lot of combination, but that's kind of almost a baseline. Maybe 40 if I'm being generous. I want to be, yeah, you need a few more yards to push it back. But and also this re reduces. I always forget exactly what it does, but it removes like garbage time as well. Correct?
As much as possible,
Yeah,
yes. And
and then the other.
that's also true of FEI, which we talk about on this podcast all the time as well.
Yeah, with Brian Fermi. Yeah, bcftoys.com. So when we look at this overall, as a conference whole, the Mountain West is behind the Sun Belt and the American. And this is also, remember, conferences are changing. So, oh, geez, I'm going to remember this again, Matt, for coming up for our preseason previews. So the Big 12 now adds BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and
Houston.
Houston. In Houston, yes. So even with those three of those four coming from the American, the Mountain West is still far behind the American. But I think the American added, oh geez, like Charlotte's and oh geez, I don't even
Sure. Okay,
know.
let's see if I can remember them all. Charlotte, Florida Atlantic,
Okay.
Rice.
Marshall?
No, Marshall, I believe is he they moved from
Sunbelt?
to the Sun Belt. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I can't remember them all. North
Quiz
Texas.
time. Oh, geez,
Alabama,
really?
Birmingham, and UTSA.
Okay, UTSA. All right. Oh boy, this is going to be a. It's going to be a study time this summer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so even those teams added, like Charlotte was garbage. UTSA is really good with Jeff Traylor there. He'll be there for hopefully for a minute. FIU can be pretty good. So it's not sharp. I already said Charlotte, but it's we'll see. But Sun Belt's obviously App State, Marshall, really good teams in there. James Madison, who has obviously played exceedingly well last year in their first year moving up to the FBS ranks. And same Houston State, I think, are they? CUSA, I'm guessing. Yeah, Conference USA.
That's correct. Yeah.
So I tried to get the two new schools. Jack, where's Jacksonville State? Are they Sun Belt or are they
They're also in
CUSA?
Conference USA.
Makes sense. So the Conference USA is a distant. Actually, no, the MAC is, I apologize, or 10th. But Mountain West is eighth overall, which is not great. But you noted, like, when you went through these, what did you particularly see? Because to me, it seems like there's not much respect for the Mountain West. As much as respect you want to say a computer gives you.
Yeah, so it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
I put in the article that, you know, at this time last year, and it's important to keep in mind that, you know, Connolly updates these projections typically once or twice as more players transfer and things like that, as rosters take firmer shape through, you know, into the summer and in the fall. So like there's updates, I believe, in like June and August, if I'm not mistaken. But
I wonder if he'll change it just starting up because there's actual portal window now, which makes it easier. Well,
maybe
harder,
yeah.
Harder and easier because the portal window ended, what, first week, middle of January. So there's not going to be random guys leaving. There'll be guys leaving, but they'll know where you're going to go by May 15th. So I'm betting he'll have an update first week, middle of May. And then obviously it's summertime again. So, but you're right. It does update a couple of times, but that's the hard part. Like production returning and like guys come in and how's that fit in? Sorry, but continue with the lackluster preseason Mountain West respect.
Yeah. So at this time last year, there were four teams that were ranked 100th or below. And we knew that that might be the case, especially for some teams that went into last season having faced like a huge amount of turnover. And I'm thinking primarily of like, you know, Nevada and Hawaii and all of those narratives from like, December and January of last year. This year, though, there are eight teams ranked 100th or worse. So I'm just, if you just want to run them down real quick, Wyoming is 101. San Jose State is 103. Nevada at 107, UNLV at 108, Utah State at 118, Colorado State at 119, and then bringing up the rear, Hawaii and New Mexico at 131 and 132, respectively.
Out of those group, I'll answer this question about Oscar as well. Like the biggest non-shocker are Hawaii and Mexico. Maybe Hawaii a little bit because they're actually, despite being 4-9, they had a couple one possession games that didn't go their way. I'm surprised that Hawaii is that low. And I'm also with San Jose State as well, because I know that's production accounts for it, but they return Shivan Cordero, return some receivers. But it's defense that lose a lot of guys, but I'm surprised San Jose State's not a bit higher.
I think a lot of it, and I'm going back into last year's final rankings to sort of, you know, try and justify this point, hopefully, fingers crossed. I think a lot of it is the fact that the Spartans in particular ended last year, they were 90th overall, and, you know, we're heading into the bowl game, or maybe with the bowl game, I apologize. They were 100th on offense and 53rd on defense.
Defense was good.
The defense was very good, but now on that side of the ball, they're starting over.
Yeah, in Kyle a lot of Harman, respects. Kate Hall,
Kyle Harmon's gone. Kate Hall, Billy Amifahoko, Nehemiah Shelton. They're having to replace a lot on that side of the ball, which is not to say that the cupboard is entirely barren all of a sudden. But when you look at where they left off, on January 1st or thereabouts, you see that there isn't much difference between where they left up on offense. They finished 100th and they projected 102nd. But their defensive projection, they finished 53rd on the side of the ball last year. Now they're projected to be 95th, which is not to say that they can't beat that projection. Like, I think if you're a Spartans fan, there are plenty of reasons to have confidence that Derek Odom and that coaching staff will find some answers, if not all of the answers right away. But exactly. That is, and like I said, this is more of a starting point than anything for looking ahead, because of course a lot can happen between now and week zero.
Yeah, they also return basically half of the production, 48 defense percentage wise defense and 57% offense. So it's, but also that half of the production was five. Well, I guess it's half your defense of five guys, but it was really, really good production.
Yeah.
And the way he does production, like for Bill C, not every position's weighted the same. And so like just on defense, for speaking of the Spartans, returning tackles is 70%. And we know Kyle Harmon was a tackle machine. Mm-hmm. And then you had pass defense, defended is 14%, which wasn't their overall their strength, I would say. And then TFLs were 12 and sacks were four. So three of those four were a lot of what San Jose State did well. And but with 70% being tackles, which makes sense because what's the point if it's not tackle somebody? You know what I mean? Take them out and tackle. And they lose a lot of that. So, but the amount of production coming back, use those metrics because it's not just pure yardage or interception turnovers. Like an offensive line snaps, 47% accounts for more than passing yards. And it's equal. Sorry, I was trying to do some math here on the fly. So returning offensive line snaps, I know we're bouncing around a bit, is exact same amounts in returning production wise as is quarterback passing yards and returning receiving yards. So offensive line is obviously the most important thing.
And for San Jose State, that is, I think, is a very important point to make because, we knew going into 2022 that they were replacing like what, four starters on that unit.
Something like
And
that.
yeah, and while they had some ups and downs, protecting Cordero, getting the running game going or not from week to week,
Yeah, my biggest
but
thing.
all of those guys are returning for 2023. And so, that level of cohesion, and they aren't the only ones in that regard. I pointed this out when with New Mexico too. As rough as the offense was last year, the Lobos also, I believe, returned four starters. And so, we'll see how it shakes out for all of those teams in that same boat. But offensive line continuity matters.
Very much so. So what else like surprised you? Those like my like I said, my surprise those couple of teams. So we look at Nevada. That kind of surprised me that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's,
Trying to get him out of the house.
listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on,
Yeah, podcast, home casts.
your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Is like Don Peterson on defense, and those guys like Tua Tagovailoa on offense. They were just overall terrible, and that seems high for me. I didn't think they'd be basically middle of the pack. I don't
Yeah. I
understand.
mean, nationally, they're still definitely below average, and they
Oh, yeah.
definitely still languish on offense in particular. They're still gonna have to solve their quarterback situation one way or another. They are gonna need to find replacements for Tala and Devontae Lee. But other than Peterson, I believe they're returning most, if not all, of their other major contributors from that side of the ball last year. Drew Watts, who very quietly had a very good year as a linebacker, is back. I believe Tyson Williams also has one more year, if I'm not mistaken. Deion Washington was an up and comer. Bentley Sanders, I believe, is also back. I think he has one more year. Don't quote me on that. So it's not the greatest situation to be in, but I do think that, if they can hold on to some of the glimmers of potential that they showed throughout the year. Like, there were a lot of weeks where it wasn't pretty, but then you look at the Fremont Cannon game that closed the year, for example, and you remember that they had a two touchdown lead early in that game over UNLV before letting it slip away from them. So there is room for growth there. And I think that, the other thing to keep in mind with the Wolfpack in particular, and again, they aren't the only ones in the same boat, but they went into last year as one of the, with one of the lowest returning production figures anywhere in the country. I think it was something like what, 20 something percent, if I'm not mistaken. But this year, the Wolfpack have nearly doubled that. And again, it's still not a huge amount of returning production, but they're up to 53% overall, without a huge split on offense or defense. And so it still may take time for things to come together for Ken Wilson and company, but you can see, the potential is there based on what they, especially based on what they bring back on defense.
I still think they're 2 years away, but
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, to be like, they were not good last year. So yeah, another team,
but I think SP Plus is sort of deceptive because as we mentioned at the top, it's sort of hard to figure out like who from the transfer portal is going to make a huge impact. And at least to this point in the offseason, Nevada has been one of those teams that has been really proactive in bringing players in the same way that they were last year as well. Yeah, they brought in like a number of guys from like a handful of different Pac-12 programs, Oregon, Cal, programs like that. And so it's hard to judge right now in mid-February, like which of those guys are going to step up and make waves in spring practice. Like I think the Wolfpack in particular are still a month away from even seeing the practice field. So
it's hard to tell who's what.
There's still a lot of mystery around that team. It could go in any number of different ways.
So look, CSU is also a team that's surprising. They're 129th in offense. I wonder with the efficiency folks, Clay Millen, quarterback, was, what was he, 70% completion rate, somewhere in that range?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing, but what was he throwing? Short passes, a lot of them. Quick screens. That is not really extremely efficient if you think about big picture, because the point is to move the ball down the field. And I guess if you want to be efficient, the fewest plays as possible and score points too while you're at it. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that gives them a ding on the opposites, which is 129 overall. We know the running game wasn't great, but they have one of the best receivers in college football and up-and-coming sophomore, soon-to-be sophomore quarterback, Clay Millen, who should be, like, I think we talked about kind of bold picks or early predictions. Like, he could be in the running in some level for one of the two all-conference quarterback positions by the end of the year. I know it's not a
number. I think if you're a Rams fan and you're thinking about that ranking in terms of like the five factors in particular, the one problem that the Rams had for most of last year is they were not always terribly efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see the explosiveness, like they had that going for them, but then you remember that overall, and we'll talk about this again at some point as well, 110th in power success rate. So like when they had opportunities to move the chains in short yarded situations, they struggled in doing that. And obviously, Millen's issues with pass protection were, pronounced basically week after week, to the point that they were 131st in sack rate, which dead last, to put that in context, and 119th in stuff rate too. So like, even though Avery Morrow, looked like at least part of the solution in the second half of last year, that was still very much a work in progress by the end of the year. And so I do think that, there is definitely plenty of potential for the Rams to beat that projection.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is fair to say, we're going to come back to this in the team preview, I'm sure, it's all going to start up front with that offensive line.
Well, it's basically everything overall. And
yeah,
it's going to be, I'm looking at a couple of things with Bill C stuff on here. Doesn't mention too many Mountain West stuff here at the moment, but just to kind of improve or increase teams that are most likely to improve or go the other way, fade. But let's go to the good teams because people want to hear that. So,
okay.
Four top 100 teams, which is whatever, not great, but it's okay. My big shock out of this is how in the heck is Fresno State considered the best team in SP Plus at 67 when they're literally losing? I'll pull the percentage numbers here, but offense, Jalen Moreno Copper, excuse me. This guy, Jake Haner, quarterback, pretty good. Heard of him. Going to be drafted in like 2 months. Jordan Mims. They're losing. Who's the wide receiver going to Washington? Or no, DB, sorry. Other school, my bad.
Josh Kelly?
Josh Kelly. Yes, he's leaving. I remember there's a trio going to a Wazoo. Like, they're losing literally their top production-wise, not offensive line start-wise, because that's a thing. But like pure yardage and more tangible to the average fan watching when you lose a 1,000-yard receiver, 1,000-yard rusher. But they're somehow tops in the conference overall. And we'll get to defense soon. They lost guys as well defensively in the portal. How big of a surprise were you saw that? Like, wait, Fresno is what? They're ranked the highest at 67? I know the offense is 83 overall, But that seems kind of surprising. Just, I know the defense should be projected to be pretty good despite losing a couple guys as well, but that overall ranking kind of is a little eye-popping to me.
Well, the defense is your answer
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah.
because they're losing David Perales, they're losing Evan Williams. He transferred to Oregon. I think LJ Early is out of eligibility. I can't remember off the top of my head. But then you realize they got Leval Bailey coming back, and Deno Bridges stepped up late in the year on the interior of the defensive line. Cam Lockridge is back. Braylon Lux, if he's healthy again, he's back. Maurice Norris is back. They're returning a lot on that
71%
side of the
overall.
ball,
71%.
which explains why that unit has the second best overall outlook of any unit in the Mountain West,
Yeah, top 40.
39th overall.
It does make sense going either. I just felt with how much lost offensively that even your defense is good as it was, wouldn't make up to be the best, considered the best SP plus team in the conference. And it's only one spot
Yeah,
ahead of Boise State, too, so it's not like it's a runaway.
and it's sort of interesting, obviously the Bulldogs and the Broncos are neck and neck, but I think the more interesting comparison is Air Force at 77th overall, because if my math is correct, I believe the Falcons have the largest split of any team in the Mountain West in terms of their projection versus on one side of the ball versus the other, because the Falcons, even despite the fact that they're replacing three starters on defense, they're Vince Sanford, T.D. Blackman, and I believe Chris Herrera, 31st overall on that side of the ball. But
Yeah, it's surprising.
on offense, they're projected 118th. And I think that the offensive thing, when we talked about it a minute ago with the Rams and with the Lobos, the offensive projections seem really dire in a
Well,
lot
Brad Roberts is gone.
of
Hezekiah Daniels is gone.
unexpected.
Come on.
Yeah, Brad Roberts and Hezekiah Daniels, I think that explains most of it. But and then of course you remember they're also losing Isaac Cochran on the offensive line, who was arguably their best offensive lineman last year. Kyle Patterson's gone, a couple of other receivers are gone,
Yeah.
like David Cormier. So obviously, Roberts and Daniels are the two big pieces. But Air Force, like you mentioned a few minutes ago, they're the type of team that, they tend to get underrated in systems like this. So I think it is fair to say that they will probably figure it out to some extent.
Yeah, they're always a team where, like, if because Bill C's been incorporated recruiting and they're typically them in the academy are always low. So seeing them that high, that actually might be even bigger surprise than Fresno State, I think. Partly because history is part of it as well, and how well they're efficient running the ball, and you take into consideration past success, and their past success is pretty consistent running the ball for the most part. We know what you're going to get. They may not be have the explosiveness with having John Lee Eldridge, Brad Roberts, and Daniels there, so it might take a hit there overall, but we know what they're getting. The computer knows what's it getting with Air Force running the ball, and so that's going to kind of keep it consistent and high. But still, it's higher than I thought because they're usually not great. Like in ranking, sorry, let me rephrasing there. Usually not considered great within these rankings. Usually way below. Like they could have a was it them? I know Utah State gets that issue too, but they're ranked lower. But despite getting all these wins, they move up like two spots or one spot week to week, and they're like, give us respect.
Speaking of respect, San Diego State at number 80 overall.
What do you think about that? I'm not, I think it's okay.
Honestly, the most interesting thing to me is the split between offense and defense is not nearly as wide as it has been in years past.
True, but
And just
also.
for the sake of context, their offensive SP plus, the Aztecs last year finished 123rd on offense and 34th on defense, 13th on special teams. So the fact that they're 95th on offense and 66th on defense, I think that speaks to a couple of different things. One, obviously the Aztecs got dinged a little bit by graduations, like Joan Cabay, Sean Banks, guys like that, and of course losing a couple of pieces at least, like CJ Baskerville to the transfer portal. But I do think it also speaks to the real progress that they made with Jalen Maiden as their quarterback last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he only played. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that, you know, he only played like what, half a season as the starter. But he gave that side of the ball instant credibility. And it wasn't always perfect. You know, he was, you know, mistake prone here and there. But there was no doubt that, you know, he gave that offense a shot in the arm. Like, I'm sure this will come up again too, but he was number one in the conference in yards per attempt last year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, he played well, but then also limited time. So that's where the offense is getting slightly better. But also, I'd say defense isn't considered as good, being a 66 ranking, but.
Yeah, which is to say that they're closer average.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that given their track record, that they're likely to beat that projection as well. And nothing says that they can't also hit the transfer portal, which they've been surprisingly quiet to this point. You know, but maybe they do pick up another athlete or two, you know, when it reopens later in the spring and shore up that defensive depth, you know, find one or two impact players to do that. Or, you know, they just plug and play the same way that they always do. And guys that we haven't talked about yet end up making, you know, big contributions for them.
It'll just change when they're a Pac-12 Aztec in a couple of years. So once again, there you go. So once the invite comes during Easter weekend or something, like, oh, Aztecs are looking pretty good next time. But yeah, it's true. But also, I think with the offense, the running game took a big hit last year, wasn't very good. And their passing game or receiving game is usually, you know, not great. They can be explosive occasionally, but I think that all includes with the offense. So I really think the reason the differential is closer is because the offense is slightly better, but the defense is taking a step back from traditional being like top 15 defense, like nationally elite defenses. But if their offense gets better, we know what to expect from Mannix and everything, and Brady Hoke there for their coaching staff, what they can do. The defense is not going to stay down for too long. And they weren't even bad last year. They just weren't like one of the best in the country.
They were good. They were good.
Yeah,
even but if they weren't elite.
Yeah, so that's a big difference. So they get back to
because, like,
to that,
you know, being elite for like 3 or 4 years in a row is a very difficult thing for any group of five team to do.
Yeah, so they can kind of get back in that range somewhere, like just a little bit better than last year. If the offense takes a step forward, which I think it will,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to be. I said it forever. How many years have I said it, Matt? They get a good quarterback, average quarterback. Not even good. Go along with that elite defense and running game, they're unstoppable. And they're not, they got the quarterback part, we think, but now they got to get the running game going and the defense could be a bit better. But they're a team where they're kind of about where I thought. So now let's go to the Boise State here. They are sitting at number 2, one behind Fresno State at 60, was it 68? I don't
know. Yes.
Me, sorry. It went away. My screen went away. They're arguably the most balanced team differential wise. I believe they exactly are. They are 671 offense, 63 defense. And they have a similar thing with kind of a San Diego State quarterback, because Taylen Green came in after a month when Hank Bachmeyer transferred and left a program to secure another opportunity somewhere else to play. So that, I wonder if that, how much of a hit that takes into it. And then their receiving group isn't great. We know that. George Solani and Genty running the ball got quite better as the year went on. So that's, makes sense. They'd have the best offense overall despite lacking receivers, but the quarterbacks still make plays. And the defense is nationally average, and they lose a couple guys who are going to the NFL or potentially attempting to do so. So they're kind of where I thought they'd be. Like, them being the most balanced is not surprising, because that's what they've been the past couple of years. Defense has been a bit better. Offense has been good, but not great.
It is mildly surprising they are as low as they are overall, though.
You think so?
Because I don't have all the preseason SP Plus projections in front of me. But you know, year after year, at least in recent memory, the Broncos have always been like a top 40, top 50 team. And so it was kind of surprising to see them, you know, being slightly below the national average. Like, you know, in terms of like adjusted points per game, they're nobody in the conference is at zero. Like, for even Fresno State, you know, with the best projection is like -0.1 or something like that. But I do think that, you know, like we just talked about with the Aztecs, the fact that you know, Green is more or less established as the quarterback, and the running game is more or less established as one that looks like it could be very dangerous next fall.
Definitely.
Yeah, you look at where they finished last year as well. They were 59th overall, but they were also 91st on offense and 28th on defense. Mm. So those departures on defense, like Skinner, like Tyreek Jones, and other guys like that, you know, did ding their overall outlook. But at the same time, you know, the fact that they're returning so much on offense could go a long way towards making up for that.
It could, but also think the receiving group returns production wasn't good.
They were, they didn't have a clear Shakir type, but they were fine last year.
Yeah, I just, I felt
like, and it's not to say that they don't have options that could step up in that regard. Like, I'm really interested to see what a guy, for example, like Eric McAllister can do, you know, after getting more time down the stretch, you know, if he can be, you know, that field stretcher that they need, or Stephen Cobbs, if he's back to 100%, you know, whether he can be that guy that they expected.
It's true. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's oh boy, I clicked on some link here. That's not what I wanted here, Paul. I went to go look up historical SP Plus rankings. It took me to some weird website. I have no clue what it is. Let's get out of here. I thought ESPN had the drop down like preseason, but I was trying to see if we could, or just have me look, or let the audience know where Boise was the past couple of years. So not quite off the top of my head. I can't find it here, but I think you're right. But I know they've always been like number one for a while. I just didn't think they were top 40. I thought they were always about maybe 50s, not necessarily 40s.
And I know that they've slipped a little bit in the last couple of years. But again, they haven't been this low, at least to start with, for a while that I know of.
Well, we'll see what happens though. They have a consistent quarterback, and that can be part of it too. Like, same guy at quarterback, receivers stepping up. But we'll see how it goes. They have who do they have open up with? Don't they play Oregon State again this year? Is that like their opener, I think?
I don't have their schedule in front of me.
Well, they're always good at
Washington.
Yeah, that's Washington. That'll be tough. So we'll know a lot when they play that opener game. But these rankings are like, yeah, they're not everything. So don't think this is because this is what your team will be. Yeah, they go at Washington, host UCF, North Dakota at home, and then go to Memphis. So reasonably difficult non-conference schedule where they can honestly go 1-3 if things don't go well, or they can go 3-1.
Yeah.
Anything else about these teams? Any FBS SP Plus teams, sorry, that stood out to you?
Can we talk UNLV, about Wyoming maybe? For a minute?
Oh, yeah, it's good. The Cowboys, yeah. Their offense is where it should be, I think, near the bottom. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know that I would I don't know that I would disagree. 123rd overall, 68th on defense. But I think what's most interesting, and I'm really fascinated to see how it plays out, in terms of returning production, the Cowboys right now are head and shoulders above everybody else in the Mountain West. 82% of last year's production is back, even despite the fact that, you know, Titus Swain is gone and Oluseyi Omotosho is gone and Cam Stone is gone. I'm very interested to see how that level of returning production ends up playing itself out, because historically, as Bill Cawley mentioned, you know, when a team returns at least 80% of their production, on average, they improve by 5.8 adjusted points per game. So the way that he translated that is, you know, a top 25 team by SP Plus would turn into a top 10 one.
So what does that put Wyoming though? Like, that's something.
So for the Cowboys, who are ranked 101st overall, like, I'm very interested to see if that level of production coming back, and again, they finished last year 100, so they're sort of picking up where they left off in a lot of respects.
So he's
especially saying especially if they could pick it up on offense, like where they finished in January and where they project here in mid-February is almost exactly the same on both sides of the ball, despite having lost a few starters on both sides of the ball.
So in that 5.8 per game, you say scoring, like, do you mean 5 point actual football points on the scoreboard per game?
I forget the exact math behind it. And I don't think that Connolly has ever like revealed it, let's say.
No, I mean like the 5.8 is like five more, like just the 5.8 points better on the field. Is that all that means?
So adjusted points per game means that they are, you know, X points better than an average college football team.
Okay.
So like last year, at the end of last year, he used the Georgia Bulldogs, who won the national championships, as an example. Mm-hmm. You know, Georgia, of course, finished number one by SP Plus. Their rating was 37.3. So that meant that they were 37 points better than what you would call an average college football team by SP Plus.
Okay.
So what that would mean for a team like Wyoming, who, you know, last year they finished, you know, negative 10.6 adjusted points per game. If you add, I'm just going to round to like 5.5, mm-hmm. that bumps them from where they finished last year, 100th, up to 87th overall, give or take.
Yeah. And right now
they're breathing like down San Diego State's neck.
Yeah. And this year, currently, they're minus 13.
Yeah.
So if we just take that and go 6, that puts about minus 7. They're right there. Right there. Yeah. 80 to 85, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, so
it's fascinating.
There's a capacity for them to surprise this year.
It's also a thing to point out. We always mention this all the time. Just because you have good players coming back doesn't mean they're any good. Like production, yeah, they can bring back 100%, but if you're 0-12 with a bad team, who cares? They have to be better. Like odds are they will be better. And they are also a team. I know their schedule put up favorably where near the end of the year they had a shot to be in the conference championship race. And they legitimately did, but their tougher games came at the end. They faltered on the stretch, losing to like Boise State and other teams, and couldn't quite get it done. So that's also kind of, they were a little fooling people last year a little bit, where they were sitting, I guess the last two games of Boise and Fresno games, like, oh, we're right here. One conference loss, but we lost to San Jose State, but we should have saw it coming more than we should have. They got blown out by San Jose State, but then it was close. Boise lost to get their butt kicked by Fresno with two teams that have pretty good offenses. So, we'll see what they could do, but that is, they might be could be one of the more intriguing teams of at least this number wise where they finish up, because if they do, because think of it this way, if you look at who they lost to last year, like if we just kind of go off actual football points, again 3 point loss to schedule one way, but 3 point loss to Boise, close loss to BYU. I'm trying to pull up here, but those could be a couple wins. They could have like two more wins possibly, if we're looking at that. That would put them. I don't know if that they finished 7-6. If they're 9-4, or that's bowl game. Sorry. So, whatever it may be, like eight Mountain West regular season wins. That's not win the conference, but you're probably moving up at least one spot.
But they might be the most interesting team in the Mountain West in the spring.
Can Andrew Peasley throw the ball down the field? Because you know what I'm going to guarantee right now, this will be 100% fact. And we've already seen this happen with New Mexico football. We'll actually talk about that in a second here for spring. Craig Bowl talk about how they want to throw the ball a lot more, and the quarterbacks look as better as they ever have. That's like 5 years ago he says that about his quarterbacks. He's had, I believe, 5 different starting quarterbacks, somewhere in that range. I'm only half kidding on that.
To be fair, it was true for a little while last year.
Yeah. Any SP Plus stuff, or should we talk about Craig Thompson for a minute?
I think we could talk about Craig Thompson for a minute.
All right. Are you, if you're to hand out a grade to Craig Thompson, what would that kind of be over his, 20-year career as the only Mountain West Conference commissioner until December 31st of 2022?
24 years, if I remember correctly.
Oof. It's a lot.
I think I would probably give him like a B+. I think I would be a lot more forgiving because I think people mistake no obvious action for inaction. When I think it is probably more accurate to say that for really long stretches in the conference's history, under his stewardship, that no news is probably good news. Yeah, given the upheaval that college athletics has seen, with realignment over the past decade plus or so.
Yeah, I would say people give him bad crap about stuff. Like, there's two things that were not good within his tenure, I'd say. Moving the basketball tournament to Denver, which was stupid. I get why, but it was still dumb because you have multiple schools close to Denver, but come on, it's Vegas in March. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then also not inviting Boise State when he invited TCU at the time. That was the only mistake, and I felt like his only big ones he made. There's other things that we can get to, like the TV stuff is kind of his fault with the Mountain Network, but not really. Like, he's not a
– he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, like, look at the SEC Network. Look at – I know Pac-12 Network's not doing well, but SEC Network. Yeah, look,
I mean, if you're
NFL
like
Network,
you
NBA
live,
TV.
If you're like me and you have live Hulu, you know, you pull up on a Saturday and you see exactly how many things are streaming from, like, ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
Specifically through Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Like imagine if that had been available when they launched the Mountain. Like, you can't blame him for having thought outside the box, because now everybody does it.
His infrastructure wasn't there to stream all these games, and they're doing it early on. They're on Facebook and Twitter early, State Campus Insiders. They're all part of that. Like, people didn't have, even though America is still behind, like, the speed of internet that should be available to everybody around the world or in the country should be better at a lot of places. I'm not complaining here. Is the place where it's really an issue, but we have there's conglomerates in place to limit that free flow thinking of certain things and creativity. But the Mountain West, like those are the two bad things. We'll go back to that real quick. Like, not bringing Boise, which was dumb when they brought TCU. Like, and there's also things against him. Like, I remember writing some in our old site where when Utah made the BCS. Like, there was a time when game day come to town, and I believe it was a CBS Sports Network game, two top 10 teams, not on ESPN, they still had game day come to town. It's either, I think it's Utah, TCU, and TCU beat the doors off of Utah when they went through Rose Bowl, guys like Tank Carter, who, if you all remember, knocked down the two-point conversion versus Wisconsin, and Andy Dalton. I think they had Jerry Hughes on that team as well. Really good players on that team. But there's stuff against them. Like, the BCS was always against them. Which we get, like the former Attorney General of Utah, like, we're going to sue you because why do we need to be this high? Antitrust stuff, which Craig Thompson was a part of. But there is a stretch where, like, against him, where they had better numbers in the Big Ten and the Big East when they were a BCS qualifying conference, where there was stuff in contracts and stipulation. If they're higher than the, I think, top six average in multiple categories, they can add, because there was a clause there, they could either go to five when there were six power conferences, go down to five or go to seven for BCS automatic inclusions for a Big Ten bowl game. Mountain West met those criteria and still got shut out. Like, what else can you do? And there's also people complain, oh, Utah, BYU, TCU leaving. Like, look what San Diego State's doing right now. Boise and San Diego State when the Big East was calling. San Diego State was going to be in the freaking Big East. Boise State was going to be in the Big East for football. Like, there's money involved where you're going regardless. And you can't stop that. Like, had the Mountain West been, say, a BCS conference, I still don't know if the money would drastically shoot up just because you have that name next to you. Because the Big East no longer sponsors football. So there's stuff against him. And because, well, we don't want to play, like, the stupid, I think it was the Boise was in the whack, not his fault, but, like, this plotted against these conferences where, even though it was a heck of a game, Boise State versus TCU in the Fiesta Bowl, one of the better bowl games around. Like, they played back-to-back. Remember, they played that Poinsettia Bowl game. Then they went to the Fiesta Bowl. Like, that was one of the more exciting games. But they would rather have played – the big schools don't want to lose to them. And so they will put the – even though it's a good matchup on paper, like, well, it's just these two schools. Who cares? You're not playing Ohio State. You're not playing Iowa if they're in these bowl games. You're not playing Texas or Texas A&M or USC or Washington or Miami or whoever. Name the insert Penn State big school here. Like, there's stuff that was a lot against them. Basketball, they could overcome that with guys like Jimmer Fredette, Kawhi Leonard, those type of players. Even though the basketball never made good runs, but coaches like Lon Kruger, Eric Musselman coming through the league. They have Steve Alford in here twice doing things. So, and early on with Utah and Rick Majerus and Dave Rose again, BYU, but I think overall I did fine. Like, there's stuff that was always going to be stacked against any conference that's not Big Ten, Big 12, et cetera.
Well, yeah, and think about how basically every team that the Mountain West has added has brought at least something to the table in the major sports. Like,
they've all done well.
Yeah, I mean, like, Fresno State, for example, currently has the third best overall winning percentage of any team in at least among the current conference membership in its history. So, like, excluding TCU, Utah, and BYU. And then Utah State right behind them. You know, both of those teams have won conference championships. Both of those teams have been to the Mountain West, or excuse me, to the NCAA tournament in their time within the Mountain West. You know, San Jose State took a little while to get going, but they've come alive in men's basketball. They won a conference championship as well. You know, Hawaii's been, you know, up and down, but even they won a division title and made a conference championship appearance at one point.
Every team except Nevada of the new schools have been to a Mountain West title game or won the title.
Exactly.
We should mention the schools. Utah State winning conference title, been there. San Jose State winning, Boise State winning, Fresno State winning. So that's the point. Like, they've all been there. Nevada's the only team that hasn't been to a conference title game. So when you have all but one new members make it that high up, that's a pretty big deal. Well, so it's, yeah. And Utah State has been to two. Fresno State's been to five. So all, you're right. And then let's get to the most interesting point. So do you remember, like, do you recall what was going on, like, back in 2010? Like, basically, Texas is about to be in the Pac-10 at the moment.
They're like, you're five, probably going to have to walk me through this.
Okay, it's 13 years ago. I remember it's like there's Orange Bloods and like, oh, Texas is literally moments away from Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. I want to say Texas A&M and Baylor. We're going to go to the Pac-10 to make 16. So, but here's what came down to. So that did happen, obviously, because we're living in a way different world where USC is going to be playing in Piscataway for volleyball matches coming up in 2 years, which is ridiculous to think about, New Jersey. But what was going on at the time? So here's what it was. So within the context of what everything happened, so you had Colorado go to the Big 12, or leave the Big 12, go to the Pac-10. Utah, obviously, that's kind of what happened. But what BYU was going to do, they'd left, and this is the only part that's not actually Craig Thompson's fault, but it wasn't. I'd say it kind of was, because they didn't have it in writing, because what it was, they kind of lied to BYU, because like, we want to replay games on BYU TV, which is available over the air and everywhere. We're throwing CSTV at the time, before it was Mountain West Network and Versus and all that type of stuff. Comcast owned it. They didn't get it in writing, and they wanted to be out of there because this is not fair.
Yeah.
And they're obviously a little butthurt. Utah got to go to the Pac-12 to form the Pac-12, which I get. BYU's fan base is huge, and we know that, blah, blah, blah. But BYU was going to join the WAC to play football. And the WAC was still okay. Like, Boise wasn't in there. TCU wasn't in there anymore. The WAC was like New Mexico State, most of Mountain West, Nevada, Utah State, Hawaii, Fresno, San Jose. I don't recall who, I don't think UTEP was at the time. I think whatever. But it was just like, it was like the Conference USA at the moment. Like, it wasn't very good. Like, even we mentioned all these schools that rose up to go to conference title game. They weren't all that great. Nevada had that stretch, but that was about it. And Hawaii was whatever. They're pretty good at times with June Jones. That was at the same time frame, basically. Yeah, I'm trying to think of my timeline there. But they're going to do that in WAC. So they would play all the sports in the WAC and play. They still kind of had the agreement for a year or two where they'd play about 4 to 6 games against WAC teams. They basically have a conference schedule. So their schedule is halfway filled out, because filling out 12 games every year is tough. And I'm familiar with how difficult it is for what they do. And if they had built-in games and rivalry games and familiar teams, even though they weren't necessarily it was still a step down from the Mountain West, they'd still schedule out 6 other teams where they'd still play Utah like they did. They'd still go out and play all these other teams because they're still a pretty big brand. Well, there's 2 things that happened. One that I remember, I know for sure, he's now with Deseret News, but Salt Lake Tribune, Jabe Drew, found out the secret of the worst code name ever, quotes, The Project, Matt. How lame is that? Why couldn't they come up with a cool name instead of just The Project?
That's a very good question.
I am disappointed in that. So what Jay Drew found, an open records request, which any good reporter does, he's like, what's this letter, Utah State? Because you can't find it from the BYU side, but you can find it from Utah State side, obviously, because private schools, it's very difficult to get that stuff done. So they found out that they were dead. Like, and Craig Thompson got one of it. He's like, well, excuse me. No, he made a very shrewd move. Utah State, Nevada. Oh, there's some combination. I don't know the years they came in because they're kind of staggered, but I think he went after first. Wasn't it Nevada, Utah State, Fresno State right away, I think?
No, Utah State came in, I believe, a year
2012.
Later. But he went. Yeah, Utah State came in 2013.
He went after a couple schools, or like basically what killed the WAC to hurt BYU. which why not? They screwed you, you screw them, essentially, right? It's like backstabbing. And
yeah,
so,
so like the timeline, just to clarify, Boise State came in 2011, and then Fresno, Nevada, and Hawaii came in 2012.
Because Boise came in to replace Utah Central. That was a goal.
Yeah.
Because I remember the Boise State came in a couple days in Pac-12 and Pac-10 divided Utah to make it 12 with Colorado after they want to get – they kind of didn't get what they wanted, but they got a little bit, essentially, with SEC getting Missouri and Texas A&M at the time, yeah. So that's how it was. Yeah. But then there's something – I guess this is an older article from Chris Vanini, which I talked about before. He does stuff for The Athletic. But, like, this is buried in there. Apparently, you former Utah president – or AD, I think it was, let me get the exact details here, kind of tipped off Utah State, Michael, about what's going on there. And then that got back to Craig Thompson with Michael Young. And he's also Young saying basically, well, him and Craig Thompson, or no, Craig Thompson told, excuse me, that's what it was. I apologize. I'm reading it incorrectly here. And this is a long piece, and I've read it like last week, but apologies. But he said now at the time when asked about it, early, I guess within the past year, I'll believe Craig what he said because he's a good friend. He doesn't 100% recall. Because obviously he was bigger fish to fry going into a power conference and changing the program trajectory a million times more than what it would be in the Mountain West, even if they're getting better. And so when that happened, it kind of tipped things off and got things going. So it is interesting to find out years later that it was a move to help his old buddy. And I guess they quote, they linked back to the article I wrote like a decade ago, apparently. Oh boy, long time, Matt. That it was out of spite. Fresno and Nevada. I'm like, heck yeah, it's out of spite. Why would it not be? And so I was like, okay, I'm like, interesting. But that's kind of a thing where Craig Thompson gets a lot of credit for, where every move he made, like not every move, but majority of the moves he made were kind of with the purpose and did were good things, like the conference network, adding these teams. But here's the thing about UTEP, what the quote was, Boise State and the Mountain West are about to face a crisis, newly Mountain West Boise State team. That is until Utah president Michael Young got wind of the wax move and informed Craig Thompson. So that's all that happened, which is a, do you, I also think, do you think that's a move out of Utah? Like, we're going to stick it to a rival. We're going to the Pac-12 and we'll blow this thing up as well.
Yeah. That would not shock me.
So that's about Thompson. Like, there's things like I've seen him in person. His hair is amazing, which we have to discuss. That's like the, what's that, paragraph 6 of his, biography, would he go over his career in the Mountain West, or is it up higher?
Just like the Warren Zevon song.
Yeah, something like that. So, but yeah, it's I don't know what else is there to say about him, just because he's not as bad as people say, right?
Like I said, I think, you know, the big missed opportunities, they do sting, but I think there's a lot to be said for sort of providing a steady, if unexciting, like stable foundation for the Mountain West to work from. That's, and so, you know, yeah, and you know, without him, you don't have a conference that's, you know, at least in the last couple of years, you know, threatening to have, you know, 4 or 5 teams in the Mountain West, or excuse me, in the men's basketball tournament. You don't have, you know, a handful of teams with multiple conference championships, you know, so most of those having come to the conference under, you know, Thompson's guidance and things like that. You don't have teams, you know, all across the conference pushing their proverbial chips to the table, like San Diego State, like Colorado State, to raise their profile and try and put their best foot forward. Like, you know, there are teams up and down the conference pushing themselves and pushing each other. And, you know, while the results haven't always been perfect, like, it's not Thompson's fault that they had that the conference had so much turnover on the field last year and this year. So, yeah, I think, you know, he gets a lot of undeserved flack, in my opinion.
Yeah, he did fine. Like, I get, here's one last thing wrapped up right here. We got to go here. One of the other dumb things he did was blowing up a Gonzaga before it even happened, and Wichita State.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Gonzaga thing, the president's like, oh, there's a report. Oh, we're going to go meet in Spokane or somewhere. And he's like, oh, the deal's already dead before we get there. And the president of Gonzaga's like, wait, what? We were going to discuss this seriously. What's going on here? And I also always felt Gonzaga was going to try to use the Mountain West for a better deal, which they did to stay in the West Coast Conference. And then Wichita State not even entertaining that, though, they might bring football in 10 years, not caring. So those were a few other issues. Like, I don't know how much that would have helped to bring Wichita State in. at the time. But those are only a couple things. But overall, it's like, I'll give him like a B plus, similar grade to you, B-ish. But he did fine overall. Now there's the new, he is, I don't know what he's doing. What I really want to know, like, is he gonna let his hair go? Does he dye it, or is it natural? I never asked that question. So that's something we'll have to find out if we see him in public down
We
the
should
road.
see if he's interested in coming on the podcast.
I guess now that he's not in the not commissioner, because I tried before for this and radio shows I work on. Nah, they're like, no. I'm like, why not? You got yeah. I need to find out what the San Diego Union Tribune has on him, because he talks to them all the time.
Kirk Kenny does good work down there,
Right.
so
Well, he does. He
understandable.
does. I'm just no. I get it. I'm just saying, like, he always talks to them a lot, for him or Ziegler, about doing stuff like Mark Ziegler for Hoopside. So now commissioner is long gone, and now, oh my gosh, I should even know her name. I forget. We should mention.
Gloria Navarez.
That's right. I just picked up former West Coast Conference commissioner, who I've actually spoken to once before, getting things done. So we'll see what she does going forward. And there was a little talk about expansion the other day, but she was kind of like vague about it. So it's like, okay, we'll see what the landscape goes, which is kind of a good thing to move in this type of conference. But anything else to add about the Commissioner Thompson or anything else for this evening's broadcast?
I think I'm all set for now.
All right, we'll be back next week, most likely Sunday. We took a couple days extra. You know that thing, the Super Bowl Matt takes up people's bandwidth. So we wanted to
Well,
let
that
that,
and Valentine's Day.
yeah, Valentine's Day. We want to let those two massive holidays have their space before we jump in. We don't want to crowd it with everybody coming to us instead. Just saying, we're looking out for you guys.
Yeah.
All right, but we'll be back next week, MWR.com, to discuss. We need to find some topics, because maybe we need to find some nonsense about that nonsense. That's our next plan for next week, to have some more fun and some spring updates. We'll get to that with other teams getting going, because I don't want to talk about guys in shorts and shoulder pads, because that doesn't mean do much for me or anybody for how good they are. So we'll be back next time. Again, MWR.com. And yeah, just let's just hope it gets warm soon, man. I want spring to get here as soon as possible.